Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
What a waste of time when they're coming to the door like that. They're not going to be moved at that particular point in time. What you need to pray is that you can live your life as a witness to them, and that in a time when they don't have their guard up, you're able to share with them the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ and really see them impacted. And people do come out of Mormonism, and people do come out of the Jehovah's Witnesses and other cults that are out there.
In a day of false doctrine and cults, arguing the truth and purity of God's Word doesn't usually change hearts and open eyes. Living our lives, however, according to God's Word and loving others when it's hardest is what Jesus Himself calls us to do. With the continuation of our teaching on holding fast to the truth out of 2nd and 3rd John, here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
Now, if you love Him, you're going to want to do what He says. It's something God puts inside of those who have invited Him in that you say, I want to obey You. It's like a man who loves his wife and wants to be faithful because of the love that he has for her. He loves her, and so he wants to be faithful because of that love. We love God, and so I want to do what He says. And when I do fail, and when I am carnal, and when I do walk in my flesh, that I say, Lord, will You forgive me and help me not to do that? I want to be the one that desires to follow the commandments of the Lord. This is the commandment, it says, that you have heard from the beginning, and you should walk in it. This is from the very beginning of what it's been all about. Jesus taught about this, and you and I ought to walk in it. For many deceivers, now he gets to the crux of the issue, many deceivers have gone out into the world. And if there were many deceivers in his day, there are more deceivers in our day. The Bible tells us that in the last days, men, the church, will not tolerate sound doctrine. That in the last days, people in the church are going to go, we don't want to hear sound doctrine, and they won't tolerate it. It's not just that they don't like it, they will not tolerate sound doctrine. There are those that have gone out from us and others in the church that are deceivers. Many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ, Messiah. Remember, Christ is the Greek word for Messiah. So we could say, who do not confess Jesus, Mashiach, as coming in the flesh. There are those who are teaching them in their day that Jesus had not come in the flesh. And these are the foundations of the Gnostic religion. And the Gnostics believed that the body was separate from the spirit. And so you could sin. You could go out and you could do sinful things in the body, and it didn't affect your spirit. And that Jesus didn't have a body. And so he didn't come in the flesh. And so here he says, if anybody says that Jesus didn't come in the flesh, it says this is a deceiver and the Antichrist. I also wonder about the teachings of the Jehovah's Witnesses where they say Jesus is not going to come back in the flesh, but that he just comes back in the spirit and he's came back privately and he's setting up his kingdom now. If that's not a fulfillment of this passage as well, in saying that he didn't come in the flesh, he promised to come back, but he's going to come back in the spirit. But specifically, he's dealing with a doctrine that was prevalent in his day. Nevertheless, there are those still who don't believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. They are Antichrist as well. Verse 8, look to yourselves that we do not lose these things we worked for, but that we may receive a full reward. Be careful that you don't begin to believe what these deceivers are saying and lose what you have worked for and receive a full reward. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. Two things there. Transgresses, which is sin, and doesn't abide in the doctrine of Christ. That is, that we receive forgiveness from our sins by Him and His blood cleansing us. We know that John wasn't saying here that if you sin, you're not saved. Because in 1 John, he says, if any of us say we don't have sin, we're lying. That if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. But the person who can transgress, and a lot of their teachings, again, the Gnostics believed that you could sin, could go out, do whatever you want to do, woohoo, party, whatever it is, And because, you know, that the flesh isn't connected with the spirit, you can do that. And he says, if you're going to teach that, if you're going to believe that, then you're not really following the Lord. Let's read it again. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. When you believe in Jesus and you've received him into your life, you have both the Father and the Son who have taken up residence within you, the scriptures say. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive them into your house nor greet them. For he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. So those of certain cults come knocking on our door, oftentimes on Saturday morning. We want to share with them, right? We want to tell them about Jesus. And for some of us, it's an opportunity for us to be able to share the gospel with them. And so you invite them into your home. Hey, how are you? And you invite them in. Well, here the scriptures say, don't do that. Know that they are deceivers and their goal is to deceive you. And in cult groups, I have never been able to persuade one of them to turn to follow Jesus when they are out doing their thing. They have a certain mindset. And when they're coming to deceive you or to try to get you to turn away from Christ and to begin to follow them. And no matter what you say, they kind of hang on. Whenever I've seen someone come out of a cult, it's always happened outside of that realm. I shared with the lady in Letter to the Lord who had been a Jehovah's Witness, but I did it on an airplane. It was interesting. We began to talk about the things that Jehovah's Witnesses teach, or as she put it, the witnesses. We began to talk about the way that they had treated her, some of the things that they had done, and her guard was down. Never had I been able to share with someone who'd come and knocked on my door that way. I remember when I was young, and when I say young, I mean 19, 20 years old. I remember being over at my mother-in-law's house, and this is before me and Lisa were married, and people came by from one of these groups, and they knocked on the door, and I argued with them for a while. Then after they argued with them, I was so fired up, I went back in, and I looked up some of the scriptures. And then I went and I got in my car, and I chased them down the road. And I'll never forget the look on one of their faces when they turned around and saw me coming. It was like a fear, like, oh, no. You make yourself vulnerable when you invite them into your home. You make yourself vulnerable when you say, let me take your literature, you take my literature, and you begin to read those things. You make yourself vulnerable to the things that they are saying. If you want to know what Latter-day Saints, Mormons believe, then buy a book on what Mormons believe. If you want to know what Jehovah's Witnesses believe, then buy a book that will tell you what them, written by a Christian who will tell you the differences between what genuine Christianity is and what Jehovah's Witnesses believe or what Mormons believe or what some other aberrant group believes. And there are a lot of resources that are available. We have resources within our bookstore on those things. And then you can take some time to go and look up the quotes that they have to see if they're really correct. But when you sit down with them, you make yourself vulnerable, especially if you are young. And so John's advice here, moved by the Holy Spirit, is don't invite them into your house. You know, don't greet them. For that reason, and I've told them before, you know, I'm not going to say God bless you because I don't want God to bless what you're doing. I've done all of those things. But it would be better for us, and I think I've learned, it's better for me just to say, when they come to my door, I tell them, you know what? I'm a Christian. And I loved you. I am too, they'll say. And I say, no, you're not. Yes, I am. 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 And I'll tell them, if you want to know what I believe about Jesus and how that's different than what you believe about Jesus, I'll tell you. But I'm not interested in arguing with you. I'm not interested in standing here and arguing with you about the deity of Jesus or whether or not the Trinity is true. I know what the scriptures teach, and I'll tell you what I believe if you want to hear it. But I'm not going to sit and listen to what you believe about it. And usually they'll find their way leaving. And at times I've gotten in my flesh as well. I was sharing with a couple of Mormon elders. And of course, their elders are guys who are 18 years old, right? And they're at the door and they're talking with me and I'm arguing with them and it really was arguing. I really was in my flesh and I like to argue and I try not to. I'm just confessing, his Bible says, confess your faults to one another. I'm just confessing my faults to you now. I like to argue. And there was a time when I would, you know, even with Christians in the church, we'd go out after church to Denny's And I would sit and argue with these people in the church that I went to. They used tongues in the church, and I would argue with them about tongues. And they had tongues going on during the church service. Everybody, you know, talking in tongues. And I'd go and say, you know, 1 Corinthians 12 and 14 say, when you gather together, don't do that. Why are you doing? And I'd argue with them about the scriptures. And finally, an older gentleman that sat there with me a couple of weeks took me aside, took me to Timothy. He goes, I just want one thing to show you. And he said, it's funny because he said, I don't want to argue with you. I said, one thing I want to show you. And he showed me a passage out of Timothy that said, the servant of the Lord does not quarrel. He showed it to me and said, oh yeah. Then it says, gentle, able to teach all. You know, okay, all right, well. The Lord really spoke to my heart through that gentleman. He really did about arguing. But these guys, and this is, I don't know how many years ago it is now. And I'm at the door with these two guys. They're Mormon elders. And I'm arguing with them. And I'm just getting their goat on purpose. I'm just, you know, getting them. And the one poor guy, he's, you know, doubles up his fist. He wants to hit me. He doubles up. Oh, he goes like this. Like he's coming to hit me, you know. And I'm like, and then, of course, I'm just, oh, you're going to hit me? And now going out, you know, and I'm. And after they left, I really was convicted. I really felt bad. I got this guy so mad he wanted to haul off and pop me, and you know. And I realized, you know, really, what a waste of time when they're coming to the door like that. They're coming and they're not going to be moved at that particular point in time. What you need to pray is that you can live your life as a witness to them, and that in a time when they don't have their guard up, you're able to share with them the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ and really see them impacted. And people do come out of Mormonism, and people do come out of the Jehovah's Witnesses and other cults that are out there. But it generally does not happen when you're arguing with them at the door when they're coming to you. And so it's good to follow John's advice and not even greet them. And again, let's read it, verse 10. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, that's the doctrine of Jesus Christ. And notice how that's the central doctrine. Let's go back to what that doctrine is. Verse 9, whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. And if anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house nor greet him, for he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. And so you just follow through with that and be obedient to that and look for other ways and other areas to be able to share Christ with those who are trapped and deceived within these different groups. Verse 12, having many things to write to you, and I don't like this part of the letter. I don't like the part of the next letter either, because I wish that John would have wrote them. We'd have an account of them. He says, having many things to write to you, I do not wish to do so with paper and ink, but I hope to come to you and to speak face to face that our joy may be full. The children of your elect sister greet you. Amen. Probably the church that he is at, the elect sister of the lady that he's writing to greets him. Amen. Then we go to 3 John, verse 1. The elder, he starts it off the same way as someone who is older, to beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Now, Gaius is just an individual. This is one man that he's writing a letter to. And as we're going to see, there's some problems with certain individuals within the church that Gaius is at, probably Ephesus. And the reason we say probably Ephesus is because when you look at the names that are used there, you find those names used in Ephesus as well. So probably Ephesus, not for sure, but most likely. And he's writing to a friend of his, a guy by the name of Gaius. We don't know anything else about Gaius other than this letter. There's one other Gaius mentioned in the scriptures, and it's not the same one. To the beloved Gaius, it's someone whom he really loves. He has a relationship with him. He says, whom I love in the truth. And again, John comes back to the concept of the truth. I love you. You're in the truth. And then he says, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. Now, there are those that have misused this verse. They look at it and say, well, here he says, I pray that you would prosper in all things and be in health. This means that God wants you rich and God wants you, you know, wealthy. It's probably prosperous and healthy, you know, have health and wealth. And so the health and wealth gospel has grabbed onto this verse saying that God wants you to be rich and God never wants you to be sick. But here's the problem. He's writing it to Gaius. And he's writing it as a friend. He doesn't say, thus says the Lord, above all things, I would that you would prosper and be in good health. He says, to my beloved Gaius, I wish that you would prosper and be in good health. It'd be like you writing a letter to me and saying, I hope everything's going well with you now. Hope there's no problems or struggles in your life. And then continuing on in a letter. It's John's greeting. It's not God saying that. They go back to Deuteronomy 27 and 28, which lists a list of blessings if they'll keep the law and a list of curses if they don't keep the law. And sickness is listed in the curses if they don't keep the law. And then they say, see, if you follow God and you have enough faith, then you won't have any of these curses in your life and you'll never be sick. And poverty is a curse, so you're never going to have poverty. The problem is we are no longer under the tutor that is the law. We've been set free by the law, and they couldn't even keep the law. They got the curse end of it. They didn't get the blessing end of it because they didn't keep the law. And Paul says, do you really want to go back to that in the book of Galatians? Do you really want to go back to those things in the law and try to live by those that are of the law? There's a passage in the Old Testament that says, the God who heals all of your infirmities. So they go back to that verse and say, see, it says the God that heals all of your infirmities, and so God can heal every sickness that you have and there's none that you can't. But the truth is, God will heal all of our infirmities. We know that in eternity, there will be no lame. There will be no blind. God will take care of every disease that any of us has. We will be healed ultimately. God can heal us now if he chooses to do so, but not everyone is healed. And when you begin to look at the scriptures, it becomes evident and it becomes clear. And it is a twisting of scripture to say that here in 3 John verse 2. He goes on. For I rejoice greatly when brethren come and testify of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. Here he goes again. Truth, truth, truth. I'm excited when people came to me and told me that you're walking in the truth. He says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. Just like he said in 2 John. There's just a great joy to know that those that you've led to the Lord continue on and continue to do good. Beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do for the brethren and for strangers. He's just encouraging them, encouraging Gaius. He says, you're faithful to reach out to strangers and to people who are around you, whom have borne witness of your love before the church, if you send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God, you will do well. And they're just sending them out. We could call them itinerant preachers. There were prophets and preachers that would travel the different churches. The Bible says that the early church, or that the church was built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. These prophets would go from church to church, and they had a book called the Didache that they used to determine whether or not somebody was really from the church. In the Didache, if you stayed more than 3 days in one church, then you were a false prophet. And some have tried to say that the Didache ought to be a part of Scripture because we have copies of what the Didache was, and they say it ought to be part of Scripture, but it's really not. And it becomes obvious when you read it that it really is not part of Scripture. But what it was a book that they came up with for prophets in those days. And they know what the rules of the prophets were. That's what the Didache was. And if they came and stayed for months and just lived off the people, then they weren't really, you know, prophets of God. They weren't doing what they were supposed to be doing. And so he's speaking of them and sending them off well. There's different itinerant preachers that would go through. Verse 7, because they went forth in his name's sake, taking nothing from the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such that we may become fellow workers for the truth. We ought to receive those that are coming and sharing Christ that we might be fellow workers. Then verse 9, I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, does not receive us. So he calls out this guy by name, Diotrephes. In a couple of Paul's books, Paul calls false teachers out by name as well. When we call groups by name or people, individuals by name that teach false teachings, people will write me letters and say, you know, it's really not love to call them out by name. To which I say, on the contrary, it is love towards the sheep to call them out by name, so that you don't get caught up in the false teachings that they're teaching. Here, Diotrephes is mentioned in Scripture. And remembered, in 2,000 years later, we're reading that he loved the preeminence. In other words, he loved being in charge. He loved the attention being on him. He was serving God so that people would pay attention to him. And when John wanted to come there, he said no, he wouldn't receive him. Wouldn't receive others either. Verse 10, therefore, if I come, I will call to mind his deeds, which he does. He says, I'm going to go talk to the church about the deeds that this guy's doing and not receiving us. Pattering or prating against us, The word prating, by the way, I had to look it up. So when I'm prating, prating, what's prating? I had to go look it up. Prating simply means a silliness. And there's nothing that he really has to be able to talk against them about. But in this silliness, he brings up nothing against them. And he speaks against John, prating against us with malicious words. And not content with that, he himself does not receive the brethren. He doesn't receive these itinerant preachers who were going around taking the message of the gospel from church to church and forbidding those who wish to, putting them out of the church. Beloved, do not imitate that which is what is evil, but what is good. He's saying this guy is an imitator of evil in doing what he's doing. He who does good is of God, but he who does evil has not seen God. This is typical John doctrine. Remember, again, moved by the Holy Spirit. If you do evil, then you're not of God. If you walk in the Spirit, if you are led by God, if you are in love with God, then you are from God. We'll see it over and over again in the book of 1 John, that we know that we have genuine Christianity in our lives when we want to shun evil and we hunger and thirst for righteousness. Doesn't mean we don't blow it. It doesn't mean we don't have strongholds we have to deal with and bring under the control of Jesus Christ. But it does mean that we battle against those things and we want purity in our lives if we really are in love with them. Now he goes on to mention another guy. Demetrius has a good testimony from all and from the truth itself. This is probably the guy who wanted to go and minister there that Diotrephes wouldn't let come in and minister. And so he says, Demetrius has a good reputation, and we also bear witness, and you know that our testimony is true. So he's saying, I want you to receive this guy and what he's got to share with you. I had many things to write, but I do not wish to write them to you with pen and ink. So he says that again, and I go, bummer. I would have liked to have heard what else he had to say. But I hope to see you shortly, and we shall speak face to face. Peace to you. Our friends greet you. Greet the friends by name. If truth was so important in their day, in infancy, and that the very foundation of the church, here we are in the last days, and truth is important in our day as well, that we hang on to it and that we walk in love. And love is that key issue. If we walk in love, we fulfill both the law and the prophets. We'll talk more about that in our study of the book of 1 John. Let's stand up and pray. Father, we do thank you for the opportunity that we've had here now to be able to study your word and look at 2 and 3 John. The desire that you had when you moved on John's heart to speak to us about the truth, hanging on to the truth. And I pray for those here that may be beginning to believe some things that are lies, not hanging on to that which is true. I pray that you would convict them and touch their hearts. Lord, also for all of us, maybe those who are new in the faith, maybe those that are just beginning to follow you, that we would root and ground ourselves in the truth of the doctrine of Jesus Christ, that he is God with us, that he is the only begotten of the Father, that he is God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And that we might know what we believe, that we can never be shaken from that truth. We pray that you give us wisdom in dealing with friends and maybe even relatives who are involved in cults, that we might be able to see them set free from those things and to that which is the truth. We thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
We hope that Practical Christian Living helps you to live God's Word, that we might be doers and not just hearers. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, go to calvarytucson.com, where you'll find recordings from our weekday and weekend services at Calvary Tucson, and also archives of Practical Christian Living programs. We are grateful for your donations that help fund the production and broadcast of Practical Christian Living. You can donate simply and securely. Here's how. Log on to calvarytucson.com. Click on Donate, then select PCL Radio. Or you can mail your donation to Calvary Tucson, PCL Radio, 5170 South Julian Drive, That's JULIAN Drive, Tucson, Arizona, 85706. And when you donate $25 or more, we'll send you a copy of Pastor Daniel Fusco's book, Honestly. In it, Daniel reminds us that even when life gets messy and unpredictable, Jesus is still there, and Jesus is real. Thanks for supporting and listening to Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow. We pray that you come to know the grace and peace that can only come from Jesus, and that you would walk closer with Him every day.